Welcome to the Fantasy Hangover, a weekly fantasy football podcast. You can download us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Also, head over to knockedoutentertainment.com for some other great podcasts and content. We're your hosts. I'm Shane.
I'm Carl.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Zach.
Now pop some Advil and grab your Gatorades. It's time for your Fantasy Hangover. Welcome back to the Fantasy Hangover. Once again, we have everybody here this week.
Woo!
Hey, it's us.
So let's start out with a bang. What's the quick hits? Quick outs?
Quick outs. Come on.
Nailing it. It's perfect podcast.
It's been 2 weeks. We were at a wedding. We're still kind of hungover. It's fine.
And we are drinking.
Yeah, we are. So first off, Mike Williams, first round draft pick for the Los Angeles.
San Diego.
Chargers.
Damn it, Shane.
Chris. Has been shut down for the offseason due to, it was hernias, right?
It was a hernia disc.
Yep.
It's not exactly the best start in the world for a first round draft pick, so that's mildly concerning. He's still, you know, top five, top six dynasty rookie draft pick. Probably drops him in a redraft league just out of concern.
I honestly don't think he drops in a dynasty rookie draft at all.
No,
because he was already behind. Yeah, he was already behind Corey Davis.
Oh yeah.
The only person that might jump him at this point is OJ Howard, depending on where you had OJ Howard.
Yeah,
Dalvin Cook possibly.
God, I am just not in love with Dalvin Cook like everybody else here. Oh, like, you guys are all from Minnesota.
For long term, I don't think it's gonna. I've never liked Dalvin Cook either.
Yeah.
It's dynasty. I don't think that's going to affect him at all. Redraft, maybe. But even then, it's like, when do you grab him? Late round flyer?
Because there's no number three wide receiver in the dynasty drafts right now that is in a position to jump him. I mean, Ross is also coming off an injury.
But
probably I think another one.
If you had two to name, it would be Ross and Zay Jones. But even those two aren't really, they're not at the same tier that Mike Williams is.
I mean, Zay Jones, it's questionable if he's going to be the number one there, number two there. I mean, they didn't sign, or they didn't pick up the fifth year for Sammy Watkins, so who knows what they're looking at that point. But no, I think he stays in the same spot. It's just kind of disheartening.
It's
especially being at a place with someone else with bad organs.
Jeez.
It's disheartening because of the fact that, you know, everyone was hoping that Mike Williams would come in and be this monster deep threat, you know, that Philip Rivers hasn't had for a couple years, but it doesn't affect him, I think, in rookie drafts because of the fact that it's not supposed to be a long-term injury. It's not like he's going and having back surgery and he's going to be out for 6 to 8 months. He's suspected to be held out until, you know, through OTAs and
he's supposed
into
to be back
training
before
camp.
The preseason.
He's supposed to be back by training camp, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Just hopefully he doesn't get any rust or anything. So it's been a couple weeks. Since our last podcast. Did we talk about Jeremy Maclin getting released?
I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
He was released after our last podcast. So, he got cut by the Kansas City Chiefs in kind of a surprise move.
Yeah. No, did not see that coming.
Another person that could be hurting Zay Jones' value. Because he spent 2 days in Buffalo.
He did, but he also spent
friends,
2 days in Baltimore, too.
LeSean McCoy. Hanging out with his buddy.
Yeah, he also spent a little bit of time in Baltimore, which I think that would be a great fit for him to go to Baltimore. I mean, right now you got Mike Wallace and the Predator, and that's pretty much it.
I like the quarterback in...
Kamar Aiken's not with them anymore.
No, yeah, he's gone.
He's with San Fran, right?
I thought he's in New Orleans. Didn't he sign with the Saints?
No.
Oh, wow. Chris. Look it up.
No, he signed with a team on like a one-year prove-it deal.
Indy.
Actually, that might be a good spot for Kamar Aiken,
too. Yeah, actually sounds great for Kamar Aiken.
I like Maclin in Buffalo more because I like Tyrod Taylor more than I like Joe Flacco, which is funny because Tyrod Taylor was Joe Flacco's backup for years. So
I did not know that.
Yep.
That is awesome because I, too, like Tyrod Taylor more.
He won a Super Bowl ring as the backup.
Yes, he did.
And, I mean, let's be real. Any spot is probably better
For any receiver
other like any spot outside of Kansas City is better for any receiver.
Yeah, that's true.
So
they're what one of the first teams in NFL history to not have a receiving touchdown in one in an entire season
by a wide receiver.
By a wide receiver, yep.
Travis Kelce had some. So
yeah. And Dwayne Bowe almost had one and then dropped it in the last week of the season.
Dwayne Bowe, you had Bone, just so much potential season. After those. What was it? Two seasons? He had two good years.
Yeah, he had two solid years.
Okay.
And then he went. Then he had a terrible year. And then he went to Cleveland. And is he dead?
So speaking of wide receivers getting out of terrible situations.
Oh, I thought you were about to say speaking of wide receivers who are dead.
Oh, that's where I thought you were going too.
Nope, that's not where I was going. Dark.
Rip James Hardy.
Rest in peace, James
Hardy. Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's, oh, jeez, that took a turn. No, so Eric Decker is getting either, he's currently being shopped by the New York Jets, and it was said if he wasn't traded by the end of the week, they were going to release him. But as far as we've heard, he's still on the team.
Yeah, there's been conflicting reports on this one, whether he's been released or they're still shopping him. It's kind of up in the air. But, other different outlets have reported different things. So he may or may not be on the team anymore, but he will be off the team by next week.
It's going to be rough to trade him because of the cap hit, because of his contract.
Yeah.
He has a bigger contract for a receiver that's historically been a number two. So it's going to be hard to trade him and have some team willing to take on the cap hit that he has.
If they didn't have so many wide receivers right now, you know who would be a perfect team for Eric Decker?
New England.
The New England Patriots. They love their tiny wet boys.
God. Decker's like 6'3". He's what are you talking about?
Though, yeah.
He's a fast little guys. I'm 6'4". He's little. He's little.
Scrappy little gym rat.
He is little to me. I'm a foot, an inch. I'm an inch taller than him. I've only had two beers. What's going on?
Jeez. Anyways, Carl.
So, New York Jets offense, dumpster fire. Sorry, Matt Forte.
Oh, speaking of dumpster fires, Shane, don't you have a fun story to share about a...
Speaking of the New York Jets offense. New York Jets
offense player?
So, a Mr. Christian Hackenberg, who reports are saying has been improving and that the Jets are happy with the progress.
Well, he's improving his footwork.
He's improving his footwork and the Jets are happy with his progress. Those are the two things.
Trying to keep it positive.
So, Shane, how is that progress going?
Well, he only hit two reporters in OTAs.
Only two? Wow.
Only two. He only had two picks as well. They said that the defenders dropped six other balls, and he sailed passes or bounce passes to all the other players out there. But, yeah, he is looking fantastic. I cannot wait. Draft him anywhere you want in the redraft league. If you draft him in the top 15 rounds of a redraft league, you're doing it right. First round pick.
Please waste that pick. I mean, take that pick if you are in a league with me.
Oh, the hack.
I would take a kicker over him. In a non-kicker league.
I would take a punter league. I would take a punter in a non-punter league over Christian Hackenberg.
I would draft a special teams coach over Christian Hackenberg.
I would draft Randy Moss just for the upside.
Yeah. It's coming back.
It's coming back.
He probably has more upside than Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah.
That's he's going to end up being the best quarterback in the league in
Christian
2 years.
Can give you negative points.
It's true. All right, moving on. Taylor Decker, offensive lineman for the Detroit Lions, is going to be out for, I believe it's about 6 months.
Yeah, they're saying 4 to 6 months. The Lions have already come out and said that he's not going to be out for the whole year. They expect to put him on the PUP rather than the IR. Which is weird because at that time frame you would think you'd want to go IR designated return, but I think it all has to do with timing.
Added a second IR designated return spot,
but I think it also has to do with timing. Like they have to be injured at a certain time for them to fit in that IR spot.
I think it's
very weird the way they do it.
Is 6 weeks. If you start the publicist is 6 weeks and IR is 8. So maybe they're hoping to get him back by week 7 if he starts off on the pup list.
What I saw it said with the time frame they're looking at week 9.
Okay.
But
that's worst case scenario, I think, in their minds for 4 to 6 months is week 9. But the reason why we're bringing up an offensive lineman is because, one, he was the first round pick of the Detroit Lions in 2016. And he had a pretty solid rookie season. I mean, it wasn't all world, but it was definitely a solid rookie season. And that will impact the blocking of both the running backs and for Matthew Stafford in the passing game. And that could be hurt. That could hurt the team.
Oh, that very well could hurt the team. I mean, where he shined was pass blocking.
Right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Lions didn't have a running game.
Yeah, they couldn't run.
If they can somehow get a running game, it's going to, if Amir Afar, wherever you are, shows up, wherever he is, and starts running the ball and actually has a threat in the backfield, then this is going to minimize the loss of Decker for that time period. But yeah, that's really the only thing that can alleviate that pain. Because whoever they put in there is not going to be as good as Decker, and it's going to hurt them in the pass game.
Unless you're the Vikings starting Matt Khalil, losing your left tackle can't really help your team.
What about the Carolina Panthers and Matt Khalil?
Well, he hasn't played with them yet, so you know he can't have helped them by getting hurt yet.
I'm not going to argue that. I want to argue that, but I'm not going to.
As a Vikings fan, you can't.
Hey, he had a good rookie year.
Yes, and the next three were shit.
Yeah, we don't talk about those three. It was all sunshine and butterflies. So moving on. contract talks have been heating up. They're heating up with...
They're on fire!
Let's not go there yet.
It's not quite a dumpster fire yet, but between the Washington Redskins and Kirk Cousins. So it's looking a little bit more like he's going to stay there.
Zach, how you feel?
It makes me a sad Zach. Because I've been talking multiple times how he's going to be the 49ers quarterback next year.
And I believe you mentioned it every time we've done this podcast.
Every time Kirk Cousins comes up, I'm pretty sure.
You mean the future quarterback for the 49ers?
I mean, 2025 is going to be a great year.
Yeah, exactly.
They drafted the future this year, Zach.
Clipboard Jesus is going to get in the game.
CJ!
Not San Andreas CJ, though.
So just quick hit while we're talking about the Kirk Cousins, unless somebody else has anything to say about the contract talks or, okay. So one thing I know we didn't really talk about before this was Derek Carr possibly being the first $25 million year quarterback.
Right.
What do you guys think about that?
I think it drives up Kirk Cousins' price.
Yep. Yeah. Especially after being franchise tag. Yeah. Soon for Derek Carr personally.
Well, I mean,
if I'm going to get paid that much,
he's going into his fourth year. I mean, he was a second round pick, so he doesn't have a fifth year option.
It's his third year this is his third year.
No, this is his fourth.
This is his fourth year.
I'm saying to see him get paid that much, I got to see more.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%.
That's what I'm saying. It's right. Too soon.
But I mean, we've talked about this tons and tons of times. It's the quarterback market.
Yeah.
Top tier quarterback who keeps on improving year after year after year. He's going to be with the team for the next, hopefully, 10, barring injury. I don't like the number of $25 million a year because I don't think he's earned it yet, but I definitely can see why they would do it.
It happens all the time. I mean, Andrew Luck got the same kind of contract.
Yeah, Andrew Luck got a massive contract.
It's not so much what have you done for us, it's what are you going to do.
What will you do for us?
And it can sometimes bite teams in the ass. I mean, Brock Osweiler.
Right.
I mean, there's
a little bit of difference between Derek Carr and Brock Osweiler.
That's true. That's true. I will give you that. But with that said, I mean, you don't know. He broke his leg.
Yeah.
Who knows if he's going to look the same? I mean, in that regard, RG3. I mean, yes, yep. Very different styles of quarterbacks there. But his footwork might be off now. He might be a little scared to do some things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you've got to... 25 is just too high. If it was 20, which is still such a big number, but I would understand it a little bit more. I mean, being the first $25 million quarterback is, especially with like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady never hitting that spot, it's...
Well, it's because Tom Brady restructures every other year.
That's true. Like, I think Tom Brady's base pay... Base pay is like $2 million with like a $26 million bonus.
Yeah.
Doesn't come off the cap.
He could have never played football and never had to worry about money the rest of his life with who he married.
That's true. Although he would not have married her if he never played football.
Right. Fair.
I don't want to date a backup.
All right. So that does it for quick outs for us this week. So this week we are talking about our top redraft.
We are going to...
Well, yeah.
Get all over my face. Bust something.
Bust what all over
bust
your face?
Bust a tap.
Bust a tab.
Bust a tap.
On the main topic.
Shane, what did you just bust all over your face?
Oh, man, everything. It's everywhere. Why am I so sticky?
Oh, that lime pills.
It's so delicious.
God.
All right.
It is not Fergalicious, though, because that is disgusting.
So as Carl was trying to say, we are going to be doing our top 12 wide receivers for the upcoming 2017 season. This is 1 point PPR standard leagues. As I said, it's, you know, not based on dynasty this time. It's just based on redraft leagues. So take that for what it's worth. It would be drastically different, I think, for a lot of us if it was based on dynasty. I think we'd have a lot of different things going on here.
And also, it's, we're doing top 12. We did top 15 last week. We're doing top 12 because 12 is, you know, first round of a 12-team league. With that said, it's also 12 instead of 15 because there's so many different wide receivers after you hit that probably 7 or 8 mark that you can put into those positions.
It
that
gets real muddy.
It's hard to get a consensus.
Yep. But we, that being said, we will, you know, just kind of mention a couple guys after our top 12 that we think do have a chance to be in, you know, that top 12, top 15 range.
So, number one overall.
Antonio Brown.
Shocker to no one.
What? Yep.
Guys really? Can get massive receptions and get the yards, especially if they're going to try and win a Super Bowl before Big Ben retires. Martavis Bryant is back, and if you guys look at his stats in the previous years, Antonio
No, I thought he
Brown,
got replaced in the draft.
No, that was Sammy Coates.
I think he made that clear.
That was, yeah.
Antonio Brown actually does better when Martavis Bryant is in the game, so I...
Well, Bryant draws a defender, so...
Yep.
Right. He's a big playmaker, but, I mean, Antonio puts up the numbers. I mean, last year he played in 15 games, had 106 receptions for 1,284 yards and 12 touchdowns. Like, dude just... Dude's a monster.
And the only reason he didn't play 16 is because they already had the playoff spot knocked up, knocked out, and so they didn't play any of their big three.
Knocked up.
Antonio Brown is a guy that could fall big time next year, and by big time I mean still top 10, but not in this 1-2-3 spot if Ben Roethlisberger decides to retire.
Oh, absolutely.
Fall, oh, yeah.
He could fall big time when Big Ben goes bye-bye.
That's right.
That's a lot of bees.
Yeah, I think he's guaranteed 110 receptions, 1,300 yards, and double-digit touchdowns. Like, guaranteed, that's his floor, and that's crazy.
I could see that. However, I actually did not have him as my number one, which I had him at number two, so it's not that big of a difference.
I also had number two.
The reason why I had him at number two was because of, honestly, the fact of Martavis Bryant coming back and Le'Veon Bell still being there in a contract year. Last year, when 2 years ago, when Le'Veon Bell was out, you saw Antonio Brown get fed the ball. Last year, Le'Veon Bell was getting a lot more work than Antonio Brown was. You know, Antonio Brown still had, what, how many catches? 105?
106.
106 catches last year. But Le'Veon Bell took away a lot of that work, a lot of that short intermediate stuff. You know, the dump-off passes that Brown was getting, Bell took those. So I think that it just, I think it hurts Brown a little bit, but not enough where I'm going to drop him out of my top three.
A little bit, a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. You know, I had number two as well, and it's similar reasons for that. It also, Big Ben, when Big Ben's not in the game, his production goes down, and he's been. I mean, Roethlisberger's has had concussions. He's had injuries last couple of years, so I don't know if he's going to play a full season. So that's kind of why he's number two for me. I still think that even when Roethlisberger's not in the game, I mean, he's still going to be good for 4 or 5 catches for 50, 60 yards, you know, but he's not going to maybe hit that 100-yard catch or 100-yard game every week if Ben's not there.
Yeah. Yep.
And to Zach's point, a couple years ago when Le'Veon Bell played, Antonio Brown still had 129 catches.
He had 136.
2014 is what I'm looking at, when Le'Veon Bell had like 1,300 yards.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking you were talking about the next year.
Yeah, no, the last time Le'Veon Bell played like a full season.
Okay. Yeah, I do understand that. It's a different team now. You know, Bell's older. He's a different style runner. Antonio Brown's older now. I mean, Antonio Brown has the style of play where he could play for the next 4, 5, 6 years. But I do think that the Big Ben thing does concern me, too, because he's almost guaranteed to miss 2 to 3 games a year.
I also think that, as we said earlier, I think more weapons actually helps Brown. Because it draws defenders. And if he's not getting double teamed, if they're not having the safety watch him over the top as much as normal, he opens up a little bit more. And I think that actually helps his production more than hurts it. Because Ben's still going to look at him.
Oh, yeah.
But he's, I mean, irregardless, he's still in our top two. So,
speaking of top two.
Numero dos, El Julio.
Oh, Julio.
Sorry. It's Julio Jones, Atlanta Falcons.
Mr. Worldwide. Chaya.
I don't know what's going on here.
Rastafarianism.
So Julio Jones is our consensus number two. He had a great year last year. He only played, I say only, he played in 14 games. He was plagued by the injury bug a little bit, but he still had 83 receptions for 1,400 yards and 6 touchdowns, which I...
17 yards a catch.
Thank you for doing that math for me.
I looked at it earlier.
I thought you were Rain Man.
No.
Numbers.
How many toothpicks did I just drop?
Well, 147. No, but Julio Jones, he's a big play. He's a big-time wide receiver. He's one of the, you know, one of the top dynasty guys. He's one of the top redraft guys every single year.
Yep.
He's almost guaranteed to get you, you know, at least 1,000 yards, you know, 75 catches, you know, touchdowns here and there. But, I mean, he's good.
That's probably the one biggest knock on him is the touchdowns, because he doesn't get a lot of them. He's not a big touchdown receiver.
Right.
Which is weird because he has such big gains.
I know.
You watch it so many times where he's like at like the 4-yard line and someone takes him down after like a 40-yard catch. Because he loses that at zip at the very end. But the biggest thing that's helped him is the Falcons offensive line stepping up and being able to block for Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the running game too.
And, yeah, I mean, the fact that they have to make sure that they're protecting against the running game.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Kyle Shanahan, to be honest. His offense loves the number one.
That's true.
His offense does love the number one. That is 100% true. But he's still, Julio is, he's a freak. He was a top 7 draft pick in the NFL. Atlanta traded up, I think, like 20-some-odd spots to
get him. They traded a lot for him, and Cleveland used nothing.
Yes.
They got nothing out of that trade.
Exactly. But, no, Julio is just, he's a monster. He's a special guy. I had him as my number one.
He's also my number one.
Yeah, I think that offense is just going to continue to go through Matt Ryan. And I think, you know, even without Kyle Shanahan, I think that Julio is still going to be the number one receiver.
As long as that offensive line still blocks, because the problem with Matt Ryan in years past has been he gets sacked so often. He kept getting hit, kept getting hit. And this year, when he's not getting hit all the time, he's actually able to make plays.
And he kind of won MVP.
Kind of a little bit.
Yeah, kind of a little bit.
See, for me, I had him at number 9. And I was looking at the previous years, and there were two big things in the past 2 years that jumped out that I just don't think is sustainable.
Not playing...
Zach mentioned 17 yards a catch. He's never done that before. He's normally 15 yards-ish, give or take.
Which is still fantastic.
Still pretty good. Yeah, no, and I sat him out. It's still good, but that drops his yards a little bit. 2 years ago, when he had 1,800 yards, he had 136 receptions. Every other season, nowhere near that. Maybe, I think, 104 the year before that?
I'd be happy with 15.5 yards a catch with 100 catches.
Yeah.
So. I think that's number one receiver material.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. But I sat him up for 88 receptions, 1,364 yards, and 8 touchdowns. And that dropped him to 9 for me. I see him coming back down to the norm.
Okay.
And to your point, Chris, I mean, the past 2 years in 2014 and 2015, he was targeted 163 times in 2014 when he got almost 1,600 yards, 203 times in 2015. When he had that, you know, 1,800-yard year. And he was only targeted 129 times this year, so it dropped off because they had more weapons.
But he had a freak yards per catch, which I think that's going to drop off. I think the targets bump up from 129, but nowhere near.
How many catches do you think he has, though?
That I'm projecting him for?
Yeah.
88.
So and is that full season?
Yep, that's 16.
So he only gets 5 more catches in 2 more games with more targets? Because he only played 14 games last year.
Oh, I must have.
Because he had 83 catches last year, right?
That probably bumps him up a little bit, but
okay.
Yeah.
I was about to say, because I feel like those numbers don't add up to me. Like, if he plays a full season, I think he gets 100 catches.
Yeah, and no, I was in a rush doing it out. So, yeah, no, that bumps him up a little bit, but
I still
think that he doesn't put him in top 3, maybe top 5.
Okay.
Those numbers are difficult to... You know, reproduce year after year.
Yeah,
it's true.
That's my point. Is
if he can stay healthy, like the healthiness is the part that worries me.
Yeah,
and his yards per catch aren't going to be 17 is crazy. Like Zach said, I can't see him being that high every single year, and they're not. It's always something else that's higher than normal. Mm-hmm. The past 3 years.
So he's always exceeded at something. Maybe this year it's touchdowns.
Hopefully. I'm hoping, man.
Oh man.
But, all right, let's round out the top 3.
Number three is Odell Beckham Jr. from the New York
OBJ.
OBJ from the New York Football Giants, Shane's favorite team.
What do you think of him, Shane?
I think Brandon Marshall says that he is the most exciting. He is the biggest character that
biggest star.
He said he was the biggest superstar the NFL has ever seen.
And I still say that Primetime has something to say about that.
I think a lot of people have something to say like that.
Yeah.
Nationwide is on your side.
Thanks, Peyton.
They're not on OBJ's side. Sorry,
this is my number one if this is a dynasty draft.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Consensus number one for a dynasty?
Yes.
For a
dynasty, because of the fact that he is 24 years old currently.
Yep.
That is insane. 24 years old, he's already had 3, you know, 1,000-plus yard seasons.
And the first year he did it in, like,
touchdowns in each season. And he missed, like, 6 games or 4 or 5 games in his rookie season.
Yeah.
This is a guy who, yes, he is a bit of a head case. He's a little difficult with the coaching staff sometimes.
He's got great hair.
Honestly, he looks like an ice cream cone, like a drumstick. But that it's something that if he doesn't start getting his crap together, that could wind up hurting him in the long run. And it could wind up costing him a big contract with New York.
Which I think is a big reason why they brought Brandon Marshall in this year, because Brandon Marshall has had a history of... Well, he's a, you know, that veteran presence, and he's also dealt with, you know, mental health issues himself, which is something that, you know, maybe
could be the problem.
Could be the problem. And maybe that's in my opinion, why they brought him in more so for the off the field stuff rather than having Brandon Marshall be the number two there.
Well, the on the field stuff. Do you remember round one of Josh Norman versus Odell Beckham?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually watched on NFL Network recently.
Even going back to that, that was 100% Odell Beckham. I think Josh Norman was defending himself, side note. But, I mean, it's stuff like that where they I agree with you, Carl, they brought in Brandon Marshall to rein him in and teach him what it's like to be a pro. Because I don't think anyone on the Giants has taught him yet how to be a pro.
And it's bad to say because I like Marshall, but, I mean, it's like, don't be him, really. Because... Yeah, right. I mean, Marshall was, this is his fifth team? Fifth team.
Denver, Miami, Chicago, New York.
New York. So fifth team, really with his numbers, with the way he plays, he should be that guy that you're trying to re-sign, you're trying to bring in. Yeah. He should be that Larry Fitzgerald kind of guy. But the way that he acted when he was younger and the way that he was, you know, better than thou and all the problems that he had... He can actually say, "Hey, don't do what I did."
Yeah,
and I think it's going to be good for him, and I hope it's good for him because, man, I love this guy. I mean,
yeah, no,
he
sure.
looks so smooth.
His strides when you watch him run, I don't know if his feet are like 11 feet long every time he runs, but it's it's just so smooth. It's crazy.
It's like he's got stick-em on his gloves too. I mean,
yeah.
He caught that. We all remember the catch with two fingers.
Two fingers and a thumb.
Yeah.
Against Dallas.
Oh, man. That's so sexy.
They just had videos coming out where he was catching from the jugs machine sitting on the ground. Yeah. He was literally sitting on the ground just catching passes from the jug machine. The guy is a once-in-a-generation type talent.
And I'm so happy him and the kicking net are getting hitched.
Now.
Yeah.
Nice. Going back to off-the-field issues and on-the-field issues.
Yeah. But anyway, to be honest, if you're able to get any of these top three receivers, you're in pretty good shape. Like,
yeah,
we all had them kind of, you know, going back and forth between our, you know, our top wide receivers. So, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham. If you can get your hands on any three of these guys, you're going to have a good year.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, you might be able to get a lot these guys. Towards the middle of the first round, because now the running backs are kind of making a comeback.
Yep.
So if you're sitting fourth, fifth, sixth, you're guaranteed one of the running backs, and you're guaranteed one of these guys. That's me personally, the area I'm trying to look into.
With those catching running backs, those guys out of the backfield, you know, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and then the workhorse running backs like Ezekiel Elliott for sure going in the top 3, 4, 5. I mean, one of these guys is going to fall to 6, 7.
I would actually say I would put Ezekiel Elliott at 6 at the earliest in a PPR, and I would honestly go, like, you know, in no particular order, it'd be Bell, Johnson, Julio, Brown, and Beckham in the top 5.
I'd agree.
That's my top 5 for a PPR yearly draft. You know, so even if you're at six, you're still getting a really good player. Mm-hmm. But yep. and that's just because, you know, the wide receivers are pushing.
So what we're saying is you don't want to be seven.
Yeah, don't be seven. Seven's where stuff gets muddy.
But. Unless maybe you get this guy.
Yeah, this guy would be a nice late round addition.
Yeah, fair enough.
We got Jordy Nelson.
That's not who I thought you were going to say, so I'm going to take back that maybe fair.
Oh. You don't like Jordy?
You don't like Jordy?
Jordy was my number nine.
Mm. See, I think he's guaranteed. He's my number three. At minimum, 12 touchdowns. I think like 1,200 yards.
The dude just catches everything that gets
thrown. When he's got Aaron Rodgers throwing to him.
He does, but they also had an emergence with Davante Adams. Mm. They have Ty Montgomery, who's going to be catching a lot of passes out of the backfield while being their starting running back. Martellus Bennett's there now.
I don't think they use their tight ends. I got to see it until I believe it.
They haven't used a tight end since Finley, so.
Yeah.
And that was really only for 1 year. Mm.
Chirp show, man.
Richard Rodgers had that, like, two catch.
I remember that year. I had him, and I lost, like, three games because he was gone.
Oh. But no, I mean, Jordy Nelson, I think honestly the emergence of Davante Adams last year finally coming somewhat to fruition, I think actually will hurt him. Plus, Jordy Nelson's 33 going on 34. He's not getting any younger. And he's never been the most physical guy. He's always kind of relied on his height and athleticism, I think. But for me, it's just, you know, I still would like him in the top 10. I just can't put him anywhere near, you know, Odell, Julio, Antonio Brown.
Like, he just hasn't had a bad season outside of the year he was injured. I mean, he is consistent.
Except for the first, like, 4 years of his career.
Yeah, first three. But so you're talking about Davante Adams taking away from him. Davante Adams had double-digit touchdowns this past year, and I don't think he broke 1,000 yards. I don't have his stats.
No, he missed it by a little bit.
Yeah. He had 997 yards and 12 TDs. Jordy Nelson still had 1,200 yards and 14 touchdowns and almost 100 receptions. Like,
yeah, no, I understand.
I
don't think that switches. I think Jordy Nelson's still going to be the guy getting all the catches. I don't think Davante Adams is good enough to jump him.
I think Jordy's the guy until he says he's done, or until Aaron Rodgers, until one of those two leaves the team. I think Jordy Nelson's the guy there.
It's just so hard to say no to the number one receiver for Aaron Rodgers. I think that's where we're all coming from. Is Aaron Rodgers is probably the most consistent quarterback in the past however many years, and you want the guy he's throwing to. I don't care what his name is. If he's the number one of their depth chart, I want him.
Yeah. That being said, if this was a dynasty league, or if we were going dynasty rankings, Jordy would not be in the top five.
25 to 30.
But and Davante Adams, in my opinion, would be higher than Jordy Nelson just because of upside. For me, I know Shane.
I don't think Davante Adams' upside is really there. I think they're more likely to draft a wide receiver to replace Jordy than they are to have Davante Adams replace him.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of it, too, doesn't even have to do with necessarily it being, you know, Jordy Nelson. It's the guys that I have in front of him who I think are going to be better. Or I'd rather take the shot on. And that's what it honestly more is for me. It's just the guys that I have listed ahead of him.
We're in the spot of the rankings where the next 4 or 5 are really fairly interchangeable.
Yeah.
Depending who you are and what you like and what you're thinking.
Pick your poison type deal.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, I had this next guy ranked as my third ranked guy above Jordy Nelson, who I had at 5.
Is this Mikey?
It is Mikey. It's Mikey. Mikey likes it. Mikey Evans.
Mikey likes it.
I'm pretty sure he would murder me if he heard me saying that. But
this is my number 5.
No, he was my number 6.
I'm at 3.
This is my number 2 for Dynasty.
Are you sure you had him at 3, Chris?
No, I had him at 5. I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong list.
So, Mike Evans, last year he had 96 receptions for 1,321 yards and 12 touchdowns, getting throws from Famous Jameis with those crab-leg grabbing hands. I will never let that live.
Them crab legs.
I will never live that down. Let him live that down. Mike Evans, he's the number one guy in Tampa. He's the number one guy for a very good quarterback, possibly franchise. I'm not ready to say, like,
Oh, I'm not ready to say that.
No? No. I think he's franchise worthy.
And actually, you know, kind of going back to what we talked about earlier with Odell, I completely forgot that I actually do have Mike Evans ranked ahead of Odell in a dynasty startup.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I can dig that, though. One. Like I
said, going to bring that up, too, is, and my reason only is because Jameis is younger than Eli.
Yep. Jameis is, what, 10 years younger than Eli? I mean, he's got a lot of years left with Evans than...
And my reason is that I don't know if Famy Jamie is a dynasty quarterback yet. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know if he's the guy for them. He's got to show. He's got to go a year where he doesn't go into a game and throws 4 or 5 picks. I mean, yeah. he
needs to get inconsistent. He needs to mature as a quarterback.
Yes,
yeah. I think they're putting the pieces around him though to help him not do that.
I was about to say. With that said, I really like what they're doing. I like the fact that OJ Howard's there now.
Deshaun Jackson.
I really like Chris Godwin there.
Yep.
I mean, they've got a solid top three wide receivers, a solid two tight ends now. I mean, they're
Cameron Brate and
Brate was a top five tight end in the league last year.
Yeah,
and people,
which isn't saying much.
It's not saying much, asterisk. But
still asterisk. To be ranked in the top five of your position, though in fantasy, it still says a lot.
I think that puts you as a solid number two tight end behind OJ Howard. I mean,
oh yeah,
they've got Doug Martin and Jeremy McNichols, who I think is a really good. Compliment to Doug Martin in the backfield.
Don't forget they sold Charles Sims. Yeah. I know, but
He can catch the ball.
He does well in a complimentary role.
I need to see him have just a little more impact because he was a dynasty darling for a long time because of his PPR value. I need to see just a little more impact.
I think he falls off a little bit with Jeremy McNichols there.
I agree with you.
I think McNichols steps up and is that number two guy, and I think it's possible McNichols might end up being the guy. He's not a guy, he's the guy. he's not a good guy, not a bad guy. He might be the guy in next year. I think Doug Martin's contract's up after this year, isn't it? Is this his contract year?
No.
Is it 2 years?
He signed a 5-year deal.
Did he really?
Yeah, he signed a 5-year deal before last season.
But he's still missing 4 games this year.
Yeah, he's not playing every game. And I Doug Martin is not consistent, and he's not... I don't think he's shown that he's like the running back of that team. I think it's possible McNichols takes that role from him.
Yeah,
soon, possibly.
When you have to ask the question, is he still playing for Tampa every single year?
Yeah. Is he out of rehab yet?
Yeah. Is this his contract year? No. Oh,
still no. Okay.
But going back to Mike Evans, though, I think we got a little off track. That's true. There.
What I'm saying is I like the pieces around him.
Yes.
I like that Mike Evans has players to draw coverage away from him,
yeah,
which they're not going to happen yet, but once they start stepping up, I mean, Jackson will draw coverage from him right away.
Yes.
But as you see, you know, Godwin, Howard, all of them actually playing better and better, I think it's all on Famy Jamie now, though.
Yeah, no, it's all about his development. That's I 100% agree with that.
Go ahead, Zach.
I was gonna say he has to develop into that star quarterback they drafted number one overall ahead of Marcus Mariota, who you could say has had a better career so far.
I would say I think Mariota's going to be the better quarterback of the two.
But so. I don't know. I like the riskiness a little bit that Jameis Winston has, where he has that big arm that he'll throw it on the field, because I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, in Madden terms, vertical routes by Mike Evans and Deshaun Jackson this year.
These next 2 years are big for both Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they have been putting players around them.
Yep.
Like
they're
no other.
They're doing things right by the team. And even if Winston never turns into that, you know, big bona fide star, that doesn't mean that Mike Evans won't be.
That's true. No, but, and that's why he's number two on my list, is that I don't trust Jameis Winston, but on my list of dynasty, I should say. But man, he's so good.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he had Jameis Winston throwing in the past 3 years, and Mike Evans is still putting up numbers. I mean, he had a drop in touchdown last year, but he brought it back up with getting 12 again. Mm-hmm. I have him statted out pretty much exactly the same for next year, with his yards per catch coming back up a little bit now that they have a little more weapons around him, and his catches dropping just a little bit because they have more weapons around him.
I see his touchdowns dropping a little bit.
I think 12 is right around the number for him.
Because of the type of player he is, I think 10 to 12 is solid.
I think
I would say
8
to 10, just because they've got that O.J. Howard big target, who in college wasn't a giant target in the end zone, but I think they would use him more in that role.
Let's not forget, though, Mike Evans helped one of the biggest draft busts in NFL history get drafted in the first round. That would be Johnny Manziel.
That's true.
He helped get Johnny Manziel drafted with the way he played. I remember watching Texas A&M versus Alabama, and Evans just blew up that hard as nails, tough Alabama defense and just shredded them in that game.
Manziel's coming back.
From rehab or to the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of both.
All right, who do we got up next?
Number six is going to be AJ Green. AJ Green had a little bit of a down year last year. He only played in 10 games, but he still had 66 receptions for 964 yards and 4 touchdowns. It's his first career year that he did not get 1,000 yards.
Yep.
Which
is because of injury.
Right. Yeah,
6 games will do that.
But, I mean, he still, in 10 games, had almost 1,000 yards, which is, I mean, what's the average on that? 100 yards a game. Like, that's... Don't worry, guys. I did the math for you.
Thank you.
No, AJ Green is, like, to me, when these guys came, him and Julio, I've always been a big AJ Green fan because of this consistency.
Yeah.
Year in, year out. 1,000 yards. Touchdowns. I guess he hasn't been on the double-digit touchdown train, but he's gotten them numerous times in the past before. Mm. But just year in, year out, you're guaranteed 1,000 yards from this guy.
And he's got a consistent quarterback. I mean, Red Rocket is... He's a good quarterback. I mean, he's never going to be that top 5 QB in the league, but he's a top 10 guy. I mean, if I was Cincy, I'm not looking for anybody else, so...
Fantasy-wise, a few years ago, he was, I think, number 3 or something like that.
I think he was 3 or 4, yeah.
So his ceiling is there, but yeah, no, I agree with Shane.
Trust me, I know. I won a belt because of that.
Damn, Shane.
I'm surprised you're not flaunting that tonight.
God, I can't wait for you to lose that this year.
That belt,
so. Oh, I won't. 3 years in a row, baby.
Chris, you created a monster. AJ Green, just kind of the model of consistency. I say that he played in 10 games last year, but he was targeted once in the 10th game. So in reality, those numbers were actually in 9 games, because in his 10th game he got hurt for the rest of the year. So
they're adding weapons about 100 yards a game.
Yeah, give or take.
Which had they been in playoff contention, he would have been back.
Yeah,
they had already said he was going to be back if they were in playoff contention, and he would have had 1,000 yards now. While I do like the consistency ceiling of AJ Green, there's always just been something about him where I have him ranked lower than other guys. And I think it's because of the fact that I see his ceiling as, 1,200 yards, 1,250 yards, where, guys like Julio, who I would prefer over AJ Green, he has those 1,500, 1,600, 1,800 yard seasons where you just don't see that out of AJ Green. And that's, it's a pick your poison. I would be happy with any of them, but that's, that's one of the reasons why, AJ Green was a little bit lower on my list. I had him at 4, even though our consensus raised him up a little bit or raised him down a little bit. I do like him, but it's a tough thing for me to draft him.
AJ Green is consistently a 6-7 guy for me year in, year out. And the reason why is because of what you just said. He's not bust, but he's not necessarily the absolute boom. Like, I don't see him as being the number one wide receiver in the league ever. Like, I don't see it happening.
Fair.
But with that said, I think he's probably going to be a top 5, top 6 wide receiver in the league almost every year until,
because of
things
that consistency.
Change.
Shane, that was the perfect. He's a 6-7 receiver. That's, to be honest, what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, guaranteed, which is why he's going to be a top 5 receiver, I think.
Yeah.
He's one of the safest picks.
He is safe.
They can grab
him.
If you can grab him end of the first, early second, you've got a solid, solid player on your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that's what we've got to say about AJ Green. So now we're moving on to, is it 8?
Number 7.
7-0.
Michael Thomas. Not to be confused with Mike Thomas.
Are we really doing this again?
Yes, we really just want to make sure people
first round dynasty draft pick, Mike Thomas.
Yep. So Mike Thomas, St. Louis, or excuse me, wait, which one?
St. Louis.
New Orleans Saints, Michael Thomas.
I loved him coming out of college. I watched him play with the Saints. Love him playing for the Saints. He can do it all, man. You can go far. You can run routes inside, outside. He's gonna be great.
I had him at number 5, and there's two words to say why: Drew Brees.
Right.
Yep.
And especially now that Brandon Cooks is gone, those targets have to go somewhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Cooks had like 105 or 107 targets last year.
121.
They're not all going again.
Maybe I was thinking Michael Thomas. They had right around the same number of targets, but they are not all going to Ted Ginn. You might see Ted Ginn in the 60s, 70s, which is going to mean more work for Michael Thomas.
I think last year was a great year for Michael Thomas. Great rookie season for Michael Thomas.
One of the best.
And he improves on it this year. I think it's possible we see him as a top five wide receiver this year.
Yeah.
I have him ranked a little bit lower because he's still a second year player.
Sophomore slump.
Where would you guys put him? It's possible to see a sophomore slump. I would put him top five in a dynasty.
In dynasty. Mm-hmm.
Probably at number five.
Yeah, I'd probably still put him at number five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd hug around there, yeah.
But I mean Drew Brees is still throwing the ball down there. He's gonna, you know, rack up 5,000 yards, so somebody's gotta catch 1,500 of it.
Yeah. I could easily see him being a 1,500 yard receiver.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I have him set up for just under 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns.
I can see that too.
100 receptions.
Yeah. See, and we're all agreeing now. We're all, yeah. You know, we were all
fun.
Discussing things before, and now we're a big, happy family.
Wait for it.
I hate you all. There, we're not agreeing anymore.
All right, so number eight.
The guy nobody likes to draft.
Even though he led the league in receiving last
Which
year.
Which still surprises me.
T.Y. Hilton.
I love T.Y. Hilton.
Sorry, Ty Hilton.
Every time I see him go before the fourth round, I go, really?
I can honestly, I had him at my number
six. Shane passes him in the third. Shane's like, third round? Nah.
This is the first time I put him at number seven on my list. This is the first time I've ever, you know, put Hilton on a list and not went, yep. I was actually fine with this number seven. I think it's going to be a bounce back year for Andrew Luck. I think T.Y. Hilton is the main show in that offense. I'm sorry, Dante Moncrief, but you still not have improved it yet. You're a 40-yard, one-touchdown receiver. Kind of.
What about Kamar Aiken?
And as the third receiver, Kamar Aiken. but no, I think that T.Y. Hilton's going to put up another 1,200, 1,300 yards again this year.
I agree.
Could see it easy.
The guy has gotten over 1,000 yards the past 4 years, and he averages around 15 yards a catch. That's crazy. And he's just a guy he's going to drop. I don't care what league you're playing in. This guy is going to drop in your league. He's going to go later than he should. Draft him a little earlier. This is a guy I think you should
reach for him.
Reach for him.
He's that.
Quick question. Actually, sorry, Shane. You just sounded really excited about his 15 yards of catch, but you were kind of downing on Julio's 15 yards of catch.
That's because T.Y. Hilton's done it the past 3-4 years.
It's because of the spot that they're at. I mean, we were talking about Julio Jones number one. We're talking about T.Y. Hilton number eight.
I just wanted to clarify because I was a little confused by
Julio's
that for a second.
Julio's 17.0, I don't see him doing that next year.
Okay, fair.
And he hasn't done it before in the past. He's usually around 13, I think, 13, 14.
Well, his career average is 15.
His career average brings it up huge, though. I don't know. I can't see Julio.
No, it's fine. I was just curious.
17 again, or even close, to be honest.
Okay, I was just curious.
I compare T.Y. Hilton to what Wes Welker was when he was with the Pats. In the way that Wes Welker was that guy that was getting that 1,200, 1,300 yards every year and getting all those catches, but nobody really, you know, he wasn't going to be a first, second round pick in fantasy drafts. T.Y. Hilton's the same kind of guy. He is consistent. He is somebody that you know is going to get those catches. You know he's a target for Andrew Luck. He's going to rack up the yards. I mean, like you said, he was the league leader in yards last year, and I bet you no one could have guessed that.
Right.
No one. This is not anyone's first three guesses when it comes to league
surprised.
Leader last year. Yeah.
I'll say it.
He's not one of those, you know, flash names. He's not A.J. Green. Odell Beckham Jr. T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah. He is a solid early, mid, second round pick, and in some drafts he's going to fall to the third round, and dear God, to hop on him.
Yeah, yeah. I think in the majority of drafts will probably fall to the third. There's going to be news in the preseason. There's going to be something happening. Jeremy Macklin's going to go somewhere, and that's going to bump him up. And T.Y. Hilton's only going to go down, and he's going to be ranked in the third, where he should be grabbed in the second.
There's no universe where I'm taking Jeremy Macklin over T.Y. Hilton.
Well, yeah.
No matter, I don't care where he lands, there's no universe I'm doing that.
Yeah, maybe not you, but people that know Macklin's name and not Hilton's will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
the only thing that hurts T.Y. is his touchdowns.
Yeah, for sure.
He just doesn't.
He's a, what, 5 to 7 touchdown guy a year?
Yep.
Yep.
Literally every year he has gotten 5, 6, or 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
All right, so number 9
is Allen Robinson, wide receiver, Jacksonville Jaguars. He had a little bit of a down year last year, which, I mean, he was coming off of a 1,300-yard year his sophomore year. He only had 883 yards on 73 catches and 6 touchdowns last year. But as the end of the year progressed and the regime kind of switched over...
You mean firing the offensive, the head coach and hiring a new one?
Yeah. Yes, yes, Chris, that's what I was getting at. His numbers started to get better and better, and he's still that consistent guy. He's one of the only real weapons that Blake Bortles has, and I mean, Blake Bortles
is... You just said the one thing I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Yep, same here.
I was getting there, but...
Well, I was going to say, Blake Bortles was a quarterback that I threw to him 2 years ago. I think this guy is quarterback-proof.
I agree.
He's not head coach proof, as was shown last year, but
right.
I found some interesting, like, the last 2 weeks, 15 and 16, when, was it Doug Marrone? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah,
was hired. He averaged 16.4 yards per catch, which is closer to the what was it, 17 and a half from 2 years ago. And the 14 games before that, he was sticking around 11 to 12. I think that was a coaching issue. I think they made bad calls. I think Doug Marrone knows where the talent lies. He's going to bring him in, move him around as he did the past 2 weeks, and this guy is going to get right back on track. I have him ranked super high.
Where'd you have him?
I have him at number 7.
Okay. But I can see that. I had him where'd I have him?
I had him
I had him 14.
I had him 13.
But it's all because of Bortles. I mean, I get the type of quarterback he is. He's going to rack up yards. Bortles is going to rack up yards, but he's inconsistent. He's not accurate. He is just not accurate. Well, I mean,
yeah, he is going into his fourth year, though. I mean, he had a monster second season. I can't say he had a great one, but he had a monster second season. He's coming into his fourth year off of a down year. I think that...
Fantasy wise, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he's still
fantasy wise because he racks up the yards, he throws it a lot.
Yep, but and I think that last year they spread the ball around a lot more. I think Bortles felt like he had to spread the ball around a lot more last year because I mean, look who came into light. It was Marquise Lee. He came into light as the second receiver in that offense with Allen Hurns hurt and Allen Robinson having kind of a down year. I think that you could see maybe 80 catches for 1,200 yards. I could see him being more of that, 75 to 85 catch receiver with, 11 to 1,200 yards.
Yeah, I had him for 1,300 yards for about 83 catches. I see that yards per catch shooting way back up to not quite the ridiculous 17, but damn near close, I think.
I agree that Robinson is quarterback proof, but he's quarterback proof in the fact that, if you have the right quarterback, he'll jump from 14 to 7 for me.
Yeah.
I still think that he's a little bit lower than where this is, but not much. It's all on how Bortles does. And that's a bad thing to say about a player. It's going, "Oh, it's not you. It's not you, it's me." Sorry. It's not you, it's him.
I've had dudes like that.
Larry Fitzgerald for 8 years of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. Yep.
And you give him the right quarterback, and he's the best wide receiver in the league. And fortunately, he's too old at that point.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Anything else on Allen Robinson?
Where would you guys grab him? Like, I think we can all agree his ceiling is
what, I'd take him
top
early
five,
third.
Possibly receiver.
His ceiling,
his
sure,
ceiling
but
is like top five, but
four.
I'd say mid third.
I'd say early third.
Early third.
I'd say
early third. I'd gamble.
If I can get a good running back at the turn of the second and then at the beginning of the third, grab Allen Robinson, I'd be real happy.
Because one thing that a lot of people did last year that I think, just a quick touch on a fantasy note here, is a drafting strategy. A lot of people went wide receiver heavy last year and ignored the running backs.
Yep.
You saw it all over the place. That strategy did not pay off for a lot of people. Because there were so many wide receivers that had great years the year before or 2 years ago and then dropped off last year. DeAndre Hopkins, Allen Robinson, to name two of them.
Well, yeah, people were leaning on, especially for like where you could get them, people were kind of leaning on Allen Robinson and Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Yep. Like you on the turn in the second round.
Really burned them on Keenan Allen.
Yeah. Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson sitting there. You're like, oh, yeah, that's my team.
He had 12 points in one half of football, Shane.
And what a half.
What a half it was. Too bad his liver gave out.
Got to lay off those keggers.
Or it was his ACL, you know, whatever.
Whatever, Oregon. They're all the same.
His liver was as strong as ACL would have been fine.
You say potato, I say potato. all right, so moving on. Number 10, we went with Amari Cooper at number 10.
Huge ceiling. I mean, this guy could be a top three, but I don't have him there yet.
Derek Carr doesn't like him.
He has so much talent. His just numbers just aren't there. He's just not getting the touchdowns he's supposed to. Crabtree shouldn't be that big of an issue, but he is. Amari Cooper is one of the most talented young receivers in the league by a good margin. He's just not putting up crazy numbers like we all expected him to.
Oh, I have so many opinions.
I mean, a lot of people forget that Crabtree was a first-round draft pick, so he is a talented wide receiver. He's on the older side, but, I mean, Amari Cooper should be able to outshine him, and he just hasn't.
It's because Derek Carr, for some reason, does not like Amari Cooper. This should be the best young quarterback-wide receiver combo in the NFL, by far. It should easily be. Cooper should be a 1,500-yard receiver right now. But the problem is that, for some reason, around weeks 9 or 10, he just drops off. Look at his rookie year and look at his second year. He had so many good games from weeks 1 through 9, and then just, for some reason, just drops off the face of the earth. I blame part of that on Michael Crabtree. I blame part of that on Derek Carr. I've said it before on this podcast. I think Derek Carr and Amari Cooper just need to have a sit down, hash some things out, figure out what's going on, and make him that elite superstar receiver he can be.
Yeah, and like just sticking to talent wise, would you guys agree? The past, what is it, three rookie drafts? If Amari Cooper came out in either of the past two, he'd still be the 101.
Yeah, correct.
That guy's that talented.
It's not even a question.
Good. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't put up numbers.
but also, one,
which is kind of,
I think it has to do with his skill set, too. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, his touchdowns are down, right?
To be honest, yards, too. I mean, 1,000 yards is great. Very good, especially the first 2 years. I expected a little more from him in the second year.
Last year, I would have expected more because Carr went out in, what, week 13?
No, Carr went out in week like 15.
Was it 15? Was it later on? Okay.
Because they started McGloin for one game, and then he got hurt, and then
Cooks. They started McGloin. Yeah. So he got hurt week 15 because Cook's first game was a playoff game. It was the first time a rookie had ever started a playoff game for their first game. Yep. Anyway, Cooper.
The potential's so high.
He's so much better than what the numbers are saying. Yes, that's the biggest problem with them.
He really is.
He should be much higher on our list.
He is the hype.
Sounds like a Viking.
He is the
hype. Crabtree. You can try to blame Crabtree. It's not Crabtree. Crabtree is a better red zone threat than Cooper is. I mean, Cooper's skill set is that big breakaway. He's that Julio Jones style receiver where he's going to get those big long gains. Mm-hmm. The only problem is though, he should be getting those gains into the end zone. He should be getting more often. He should have more catches. I have him ranked in my personal top as number 12. Like I said, he's easily should be a top three, but he just, there's something always missing and I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I think he barely missed my list. He's number 16, but that's, he doesn't get the touchdowns. His yards are good. I think 1,000 first year and a little over 1,100 this year. So he's improving in the yards factor. His yards per catch dropped just a little bit. I think he's sitting around just a little over 13. Like Shane said, he's missing something.
Yeah.
Just
something
to push him over the edge.
He's missing a quarterback that likes him. but no, I mean, I'm the biggest Amari Cooper proponent that we have in this room right now. I have always been ridiculously high on him, probably to a fault. Because I love the guy, and I love his style. I love the way he plays. And he's not one of those diva type receivers that's going out there, you know, saying, well, he's got to throw me the ball, otherwise we're not going to win. But what you should do is throw him the ball so you can win more.
One thing I just saw is Michael Crabtree is getting more targets than Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper got 132 last year. Michael Crabtree got 145 targets.
Yep, because for some reason Derek Carr likes him more. And I don't understand it. I like Crabtree. I've always been a Crabtree fan, being a 49ers fan. But even going back to college with Texas Tech, I always loved Crabtree.
I think it also has to do with the play calling. Has to do with the fact that a lot of time when Amari Cooper's out there, he is running deep. They are pushing him out deep, and Crabtree had a lot more
he had a lot more running over
the middle. I mean,
he's another big receiver
that will get over some of those defenders, but he will do it, you know, within 20 yards, like I said, which is why he's a big red zone threat, which they don't do that with Cooper as much. And that hurts him. And, you know, we could see some changes. We could see a better running game this year. We probably will see a better running game this year with the Raiders, based on yardage, I would agree.
With not Latavius Murray.
That might also help Cooper. So, I mean, like I said, he could easily be a top five guy. But
also, you got to think, I mean, our teams usually, one thing that I would like to look at is, are teams usually putting their number one corners on Cooper, or are they putting him on Crabtree? Because if the team is putting their number one corner on Cooper, that makes sense why Crabtree is getting targeted more.
I would assume they're putting the number one on Cooper, but
okay, and that's fine. That's just, you know, the opinion that I have.
I think we can all agree is one of the most talented receivers to come out in the past, however long you want. I mean, the receivers have beaten number one corners in the past. Odell Beckham, AJ Green, Julio Jones.
Antonio Brown,
Dez Bryant. Like, all these big-name receivers, number one corners are following them. And the number one safeties, too, in a lot of these cases.
Yeah. It could just be a case of being misused. I mean, who knows? But
in some of those receivers, the way they started out, though, it wasn't number one guy. I mean, Antonio Brown started out as the number two guy.
Yeah.
Behind Mike Wallace.
Yep, Mike Wallace. I mean, Julio Jones might have been one of the ones that jumped out right to the number one guy, but
no,
he also...
Roddy White, pretty good.
I mean, a lot of these guys had number one guys before them, and they were able to kind of work their way up to the number one corner.
I mean, Amari Cooper at Crabtree.
I wouldn't...
Zach H.
Shots fired.
So, I mean, some of these number one receivers coming out of college, though, you know, have it kind of hard because they go right to the best corners in the league. So I get that kind of argument, but in the same side, he's going on year three. He's got to start beating those guys.
I agree.
He's 100%. Got the skill set, so he's got to start beating
them. And let's not forget, you know, we were spoiled for multiple years, you know, a couple of solid years in a row with these rookie receivers coming out and just bawling week after week after week. The normal standard 5, 6, 7 years ago was the third year breakout year. Mm-hmm. That was the same for tight ends, and that was the same for receivers. It was always the third year was kind of the breakout year for those guys.
If you're good, second year, maybe you'll hit 1,000 yards.
Yep. But
you play half the season, first season, and season three, you're the guy.
Season three, this is a huge year for Amari Cooper to prove that he can be that number one receiver in the NFL.
Now, our number 11 guy, talking about wide receivers that need quarterbacks to throw them the ball and would be higher if they did.
DeAndre Hopkins.
This guy is another one that has all the talent in the world and could be a top five guy. But his problem isn't so much, what are you not showing me? Although, you know, he had a lot of drops. His problem is more so, I need a quarterback to throw me the ball. And, you know, they might have that guy. He's reunited with someone that threw him the ball before now.
Yep.
With Deshaun Watson, if he's starting. But I mean,
well, Osweiler, let's be honest, when he's starting.
Yeah, exactly. Osweiler was not the answer. Ooh, he was not the answer.
Nope.
Cleveland's liking what they're seeing. No, they're not.
Nope.
Cleveland's driving up the trade value.
Trying.
Tom Savage is not the truth. So we don't have Allen Iverson. We don't have Paul Pierce. Man, let's hope that DeAndre Hopkins or that Deshaun Watson is.
That was a long play, Shane. That was a long play.
Good try.
Hey, I want the answer to the truth. I'm happy.
Fair enough.
Basketball season. Maybe.
For another couple days.
Yeah, another DeAndre day. Hopkins, he scares me. This is why he's not in my top 15. I think he barely cracks the top 20. until I can see him do what he should be doing with an average at best quarterback, I just can't.
He did do that with Brian Hoyer.
That's fine. To be honest, I thought Brian Hoyer was a pretty good quarterback when he played for Cleveland and when he went to Houston. But I have to see it. I can't put him this high after his big disappointment. He was targeted like a monster 2 years ago. I don't think he's going to see that many targets again.
I don't think you can discount him hardcore from average quarterback. Yes, bad quarterback. Like, when you have the worst quarterback in the league by far throwing you the ball, it's hard to catch the ball. I mean, nobody
wasn't with Houston last year.
Nobody that started for Cleveland was as bad as Brock Osweiler last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was terrible.
He earned a fat contract being a backup to Peyton Manning, and he played, what, 6 games?
And his last game, he threw 5 picks in 1.5. Yeah. I mean, he was bad. Yeah. And I didn't get it. But with that said, I think Hopkins improves on his bad year last year. His bad year last year that actually, it wasn't great, but he almost hit
1,000 yards.
Yeah.
I understand your hesitancy, Chris, to put him in your top 12. I get it 100%. It's a risk that you have to be willing to take.
This actually matches exactly where I had him on my list. I had him 11. And he could drop depending on, you know, how the quarterback play goes, and he could rise depending on if he steps up. So
yeah,
it's all on his shoulders. I mean, the success of Houston's offense is on his shoulders, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Him and Lamar Miller's. I mean.
Yep.
Where would you guys take him this year?
Third.
I would say late third, early fourth.
I'd take late third, early fourth, yeah.
I'm with Carl. I'd probably go mid fourth to late fourth. Okay. I'm going to bring up the list really quick. Just names around them. See who you guys would grab. Oh, whoops.
Silence.
Gronk's going around him.
No.
I'd take Gronk.
Mari Cooper is going before him. Let's pick some guys. Let's pick some guys after him. Okay. We got Allen Robinson going after him. We have Brandon Cooks going after him.
I'd take DeAndre Hopkins over Brandon Cooks because
I would too. There's just too many mouths to feed in New England.
I agree with that. We got Aaron Rodgers going after him. This is pick number
29.
Is Aaron Rodgers.
Probably take DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, I mean, quarterbacks are a dime a dozen.
We got Marshawn Lynch going after him.
I would take him over Lynch. As much as I like the upside for Lynch.
That's a starting running back.
I know, but as much as I like, but it's been a year and a half since he's played.
And he had injury concerns the last time that he played. Yeah. I mean, I would take Hopkins.
I would take Hopkins over him. Because at worst, I'm getting a flex position player. With Marshawn, he might play for a couple weeks and go, you know what? I'm
like
done.
Weed more.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's just my reason why I would take Hopkins over him.
Okay.
I mean, I would say, where is he going in this mock that you got?
25.
So that's
mid-third.
Mid-third. Yeah, no, I think that's solid.
That's
I think that's pretty
because
fair.
Because we're both saying mid or late third, early fourth.
I got Keenan Allen going at 41.
I'm fine with that. Injury concerns. I mean, he's another one that has great potential, but injury concerns.
In this draft, you could get them both. You could go.
Well, I'm saying, would you guys still take DeAndre Hopkins over Keenan Allen?
Yeah.
I probably...
I would.
I'm a huge Keenan Allen fan, but I probably would just for the upside.
Okay.
All right, so number 12, we have a guy that... Did he lead the league in receptions? Is that what it was last year? He was in the top. He was in the tops for yards and receptions, wasn't he?
No, not receptions. He only had 94. We're talking about Doug Baldwin.
Dougie Fresh.
Larry Fitzgerald led the NFL in receptions last year.
He was up there in yards, though. He was 11-21?
11-28.
So that was good for, like, probably 6 to 10 range?
Yeah. I mean, a guy that was one of the top 10 wide receivers in fantasy last year. And
nope. Like, surprisingly.
Yeah. Another guy, not someone you would think
nobody
of.
Nobody wants to draft.
But this... Right. Here's
yeah, no.
Another guy.
I still wouldn't take him to the fifth round.
I don't even want him.
Here's the thing about Doug Baldwin that you have to understand when you're taking him. He, for the past 2 years, where his fantasy relevance has really skyrocketed... One, he's been missing Golden Tate.
Yep.
Two, he has been super streaky with that production. 2 years ago, when he had, I think he had 14 or 15 touchdowns, he didn't have really any double-digit point games until week 8 or 9. That's when he started to really blossom and take off in that offense, because he was getting 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns a game. This past year, he had, I think it was 4 100-yard games, maybe 5, and those were also his only games where he went double-digit, because he was getting 25 points a game.
Not even. He had 3.
He had 3.
One was 171 yards, don't get me wrong.
Yep. But that's 17 points right there, you know. That's huge. That's a monster week for a lot of leagues. And then plus the receptions, for the receptions plus yards.
Yep. Yeah, he had 13 receptions and a touchdown that game. That was a ridiculous
game.
So
36 game. Points yeah. based on one game.
If you have in the championship, he probably led you to a win if you started him. Actually, looking at those numbers, that's crazy.
But streaky receiver. At his numbers, he's super streaky.
Yeah. Streaky receiver. I mean, still, he's solid. He's in a good offense. Someone's got to catch the ball there. I mean, Russell Wilson isn't one of my favorite quarterbacks. But
probably won't be Tyler Lockett for a while.
Yeah, but...
he's got hurt late in the season.
Where's he going
year?
in the mocks you're looking
well,
at?
Well, I was
going
to ask, would you guys take him or DeAndre Hopkins?
Hopkins.
Yeah, he's going about 2 picks before him.
Really? That is too early for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I wouldn't touch... Someone I probably wouldn't touch Baldwin until the 5th.
That's going right after Baldwin, Rob Gronkowski.
And see, this is one thing that I do want to, you know, another kind of fantasy tip for people when they're drafting. Don't just go based on the name. Look at the production for the last year, the year before that. Look at if guys are consistent or if they're streaky.
Yep.
You know,
when they're getting the production in, like you were just saying with Baldwin. Look to see if it's all happening in 2-3 games.
Yeah. Are they getting, you know, are they being Ted Ginn or are they being Antonio Brown?
Yep.
I remember the first Dynasty League that we did a startup in, I was looking for guys to take, and I saw Antonio Brown, it was about 4 years ago, and every single game was at minimum 5 catches, 50 yards. That's 10 points a week. 10 points is a solid amount when you're doing half-point PPR or any type of PPR, but you look for the consistency, and that's why I have a tough time taking Doug Baldwin. I would rather someone else take him. And I can get a guy that I think can be more consistent.
Doug Baldwin or Demaryius Thomas?
Can you give me a third option?
I'd probably take Doug Baldwin.
I'd probably take Doug Baldwin.
I'd still take Demaryius Thomas. I mean, Demaryius Thomas hasn't been what he used to be, but he's still getting the catches.
If I had...
He's going a full round after, by the way, pick number 34.
I might literally flip a coin on this one.
Yeah.
But I would probably take the upside of Demaryius Thomas. Just with that coin flip, because he, you know, if Trevor Siemian is a starter in Denver or if Paxton Lynch is a starter, I think you're going to see different types of production from Demaryius Thomas. I think with Siemian, you're going to see that short slant, you know, screen game. With Lynch, I think they're going to want Demaryius Thomas to go and beat him deep. So, but either way, I still would probably take Demaryius Thomas over Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, no, me personally, I'm a fan of Demaryius Thomas. I mean, bad quarterback play, doesn't have Manning. He's still getting receptions like crazy.
He had, what, 92, 94 last year?
90 last year, 105 the year before that. It's just his touchdowns just need to get bumped up just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's still getting over 1,000 yards.
And his drops need to go down. He has a lot of drops.
Well, I think there's one other wide receiver we should talk about before we end this up. Okay. I think that a lot of people, the name that people hasn't heard, it rhymes with Pez.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere else.
Pez Lyrent? Is that what it rhymes with?
Yeah, good old Pez Lyrent. Dez Bryant, who is somebody that other people might have in the top 10. We did not have in our top 12. I would say probably not in the top 15 either.
And a lot of that has to do with me and Shane.
Yeah.
Me and Shane have a lot to do with that.
Dez Bryant is a guy that has had some consistency. He's had some injury concerns here last couple seasons, too. With me, he's not in the top, my top 20. And the reason why is because injury, it has to do with the fact that there are games that you still watch where he has the Randy Moss effect, where it doesn't look like he cares, depending on where the team's at and what they're doing. And I don't trust Dak Prescott. I really don't. He had a great rookie season, let's see what happens sophomore year. If it can, if it stays up, if he's looking at Dez, I'll be happy, but I don't believe it yet.
Yeah, see, I have Dez ranked super high. I've always been a big Dez fan. The reason I have him ranked super high, I think he's my number three, is that looking at the past few games when him and Dak Prescott played more, Dak Prescott felt more comfortable throwing to Dez. Dez didn't have very many. He only had like 300-yard games, but he was still a touchdown machine. I mean, in, what was it, 13 games, 8 touchdowns on his way to just over 1,000 yards. I think that number bumps up late next year, and I think he can get back to his good old 12-14 touchdown self with 1,300 yards on top of that. I think next year is going to be a big, big year for Dez Bryant.
I'm kind of right with Shane on this boat with Dez. I've just never been the biggest Dez fan. Just, I'm not a fan of his style of play. I think that losing Tony Romo is going to hurt him because he had Tony Romo for the first 5 years of his career. That's huge. And last year you saw his production and the way he was targeted dip without Tony Romo. He's not the main attraction in Dallas anymore. You could argue, honestly, even that offensive line is a bigger attraction than Dez right now.
I think the fact that I think that Dallas isn't going to be as good next year as they were this year or this past year will hurt Dez more than it helps him, because I think it's going to hurt Dak more.
Yeah.
Carl, final thoughts on Dez?
It blows my mind. He's outside the top 15.
Like for me, he was my number 15. It all depends on his relationship with Dak Prescott.
Yep.
As Chris was saying, it was starting to improve a little bit as the year went on, which is going to happen with a rookie quarterback,
yeah,
and a veteran wide receiver. Relationships change. You start to get into that rhythm. I mean, 50 catches and not even 800 yards last year. I think those numbers improve.
13 games, too.
Yeah.
So I think if he kept going at his rate, he was going to just barely break 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But he still get double-digit touchdowns at least.
Right. Because I think next year people plan a lot more for Zeke than they did this year,
mm-hmm.
Which will open up the passing game for Dak. Dak just needs to prove that he can completely take a team on his shoulders and lead them to victory.
All right, well, that's the end of our main topic. Do we have Trivia Corner this week?
We got a couple.
Oh, I see you sitting in that corner.
All right, so we are going to play a guessing game based on career stats.
Yes!
And I know I'm going to set this one up already, but we're going to play a game of Who Am I?
Zach.
There we go. I was waiting for it.
You're welcome.
All right, so this guy. Two-time first-team All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler. So far in his career...
Are these current players?
Yes.
Are still playing in the league?
Still playing, yep.
Okay, okay.
Current players. Sorry, you guys threw me off there. Career catches, 497. Career yards, 7,610. And 40 career touchdowns to this point.
How many seasons? Can we ask that?
It's kind of going to give it away, but we'll go with six.
Is that a guess, or is that...
It's rough estimate.
Is it Julio?
Yes, it is Julio Jones. Okay.
I thought that before I heard the season. So
yeah, I was actually going to throw in the year
40
they were
touchdowns made me think Julio. Yep.
I was going to throw in the year they were drafted, but then I'm like, that's gonna be a dead giveaway. All right, next guy. He has had one Pro Bowl, no All Pro seasons. Four times he's been in the top 10 of receiving yards, and two times he's been in the top 10 for receptions.
Is it T.Y. Hilton?
No, it is not.
Is it Edelman?
Nope.
Jarvis Landry? No, he's too young for that. How many years in the receiving yards?
He's been in the league since 2000. In the receiving yards. He's had four seasons in the top 10. And I guess I should give his career stats as well. 497 catches, 7,366 yards, and 63 touchdowns.
Emmanuel Sanders?
No.
How many seasons?
He's been in the league since 08.
Demaryius Thomas?
Nope.
No.
I don't want to say this. Eric Decker?
No.
Okay.
We talked about him. We had kind of a pretty big debate on him in our top 10.
Jordy Nelson?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jordy Nelson. Pro Bowl and no All-Pro selections.
One Pro Bowl, really?
No
really?
All-Pro selections.
Wow. Huh.
Yep.
Not even like 2 years ago when he had like 14 touchdowns or something like that?
It didn't. He was not listed in All-Pro.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
That's shocking.
And this is
to
based
me.
On Pro Football Reference, so just... In case that they don't have it correct, I did look at it, but it's based on Pro Football Reference's stuff. Next guy, 462 catches, 6,621 yards, 67 touchdowns, one All-Pro season, three Pro Bowls, two seasons in the top 10 in receiving yards.
I'm going Brandon Marshall again.
How many years in the league?
We'll go roughly 7, 8. He might be going into his 8th season.
So it's not Brandon Marshall.
No.
That's right.
The next one's going to be a dead giveaway, which is why I didn't want to give that hint yet.
Is it Edelman?
No.
Oh. Hmm. How many All-Pros?
One All-Pro.
One All-Pro. One
All-Pro.
I guess I should say it's first-team All-Pro. I don't know if there's been second team. They didn't have that listed on Pro Football Reference.
DeSean Jackson?
Nope. Do you guys want the last giveaway hint?
Wait one second. Just let me... What's the last hint?
5 seasons he's been in the top 10 for receiving touchdowns.
That's a giveaway?
I thought it would have been.
Michael Crabtree?
No.
Okay. Just, come on, throw it out there.
No, but thank you for thinking that highly of him. I'll give you another hint. Two of the people in this room do not like this guy.
Oh, Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant?
Oh, I was yes. going to say him, too.
I thought the 5 seasons in the top 10 for receiving touchdowns, you know, would have given it away, but apparently not. All right, so we got one more, and then we'll go ahead and end this game. We've got 425 career catches, 4,540 yards, and 24 touchdowns, and he's been in the top 10 for receptions 3 seasons.
Jarvis Landry.
Nope.
Keep saying it every time.
Julian Edelman?
Yes.
Okay, that was going to be my next
guy,
one.
That was the other guy, yeah.
I was like, I've already said him every round. I can't say him again this round.
Listen to those numbers, though, because if you actually look him up on Pro Football Reference, he's really only had like 3 seasons.
That's because he's never really played a full one.
Right.
Well, no, even with his production, even having high production, he's only had like 3 years of high production. But yeah, 425 catches for 4,540 yards.
Well, so I mean, he was a special teams guy before that.
I know, but just because of how the long play of fantasy football, you would have thought he would have been closer to that 7,000-8,000 yard mark when he's not even close.
He really didn't do anything when Welker was there. I mean,
yeah, he replaced Welker.
Yep.
For a reason, yeah.
But yeah, so I thought that was kind of fun, just going based on the stats.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. No, that was a good one.
All right, so you guys can check out knockedoutentertainment.com for some other great content. We've got, you know, the 50th episode of...
It's always fun.
Are we rolling?
Nope. 50th character episode work? Of Character Work. That's the one. Oh, I'm in it. Who knows?
It's only your other podcast.
50th episode of Character Work. Are We Rolling? Going strong. Always Foggy is coming back. We've also got our Twitter account.
Yep. Which I just realized this about yesterday or 2 days ago. Our Twitter account is at, you can actually find us at Fantasy Hangover. For some reason, it didn't want to include the. So
Fantasy Hangover. At Fantasy Hangover. And our Gmail is also Fantasy Hangover.
Yeah, actually, our Gmail is The Fantasy Hangover.
The Fantasy Hangover. Speaking of hangovers, I haven't eaten food today. That's why I'm realizing I'm so drunk
now.
Oh,
jeez.
That makes so much sense. Sorry, podcast listeners. And check us out on our individual Twitters and Facebooks and Instagrams. We've said them in the past. If you don't know them by now, sucks to be you.
And I think we'll be back next week.
I think we'll be talking about quarterbacks.
Let's
Let's talk about quarterbacks and tight ends.
Sure.
We can do those both in the same one.
I agree.
They're not worth separate episodes.
Not last year.
No.
And then maybe after that, we could do a mock draft.
Oh, God, you're going so far in the future. I don't know. It's going to be the future soon, but not yet.
Now.
No, this isn't Are We Rolling? We record at least every other week.
Burn. It's a wicked burn. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We have now finished the Gatorade, taken all the Advil, and oh man, all the Popeye's chicken
then
is
kept
gone.
On drinking.
And so much Popeyes. Oh man, I am gonna have so much Popeye's tomorrow.
So much Popeyes.
We love you all. Goodbye.
Have a good week, guys.
Deuces.